You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I'm joined now by the Leader of the Opposition, MP Chris Hipkins. Chris, you're on campus today and joining me to have a kōrero about Labour's policies for the 2026 election and how Labour will meaningfully challenge a national government this year. How was your travel this morning?
It's been great. Yeah, we had a very smooth flight into Dunedin, which is great. It's been great to get out and about on campus and talk to students about the big issues that are affecting them at the moment. Cost of living, of course, number one issue for students. That's always been the case, but it's even more so now, just with the cost of living crisis, the price of everything going up. And, you know, the government have increased student fees by nearly 20% in the last 3 years. And I think every student's feeling the consequences of that.
Yeah, totally. A lot of the policies that you have here, they do have a fiscal approach. One is the transport fare cap. So 20% cap, Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, 10% for the rest of New Zealand. So that includes Dunedin. And the average weekly savings for Dunedin will be around $15, the highest savings across the country, Palmerston North and Whanganui at $33 for an average a week. You say this fare cap will be paid for responsibly with a small contribution from an existing fund set up to support New Zealand's transport network. Nationals campaign chairperson Simeon Brown said that this policy will require higher taxes or more borrowing. Do you truly believe that the cost of this policy will be covered by the National Land Transport Fund with that added pressure?
Absolutely. The National Land Transport Fund is made up of all of the money that the government collects through petrol tax, through road user charges and so on. All that goes into a multi-billion dollar pot, and that's what we use to build roads, to maintain roads, to fund public transport. And we're talking about 1% of that fund going into the public transport fare cap policy. So it's very, very achievable. You don't have to cancel new roads in order to achieve that. If you think about 1%, yeah, it might mean that some of our roading projects are delayed by a month or two or whatever. Mm. But ultimately, it's not going to fundamentally change the nature of what we spend that fund on. But it is going to make a really big difference to the people who are going to save money as soon as that is introduced.
Mm. And another policy that's about saving money as well, also having more of an environmental focus, is the Solar Saver, of course. Policy promises to remove that barrier that locks families out of solar power with government-backed finance, kickstart subsidies, plug-in options for renters, and a community battery fund for neighbourhoods. A lot of that has already been implemented in other places around the world, which you've kind of said on your website. Power bills are up 20% in just 2 years, which squeezes the funds of well-being for families. But it's not just about cheaper power. It'll also mean local jobs for electricians, installers, solar technicians, etc. How does this meaningfully differ from Nationals' home energy funds? It seems like between the two major parties, a solar future already exists for Aotearoa.
So National are only campaigning on a part of the policy that Labor's put forward, which is the ability to access finance through your rates. So you can put the solar panels on and you can pay them off through your rates. We're also proposing that other financing options, including being able to pay them off through your lines company charge, because in some areas the local council won't offer that ratepayer assistance scheme, and we've got to provide alternatives for people in those areas. But we've also done more than that. So for those who are on low and middle incomes, we're going to allow for a $3,000 grant to get people started, because that again will make it quicker for them to pay off their solar panels. And for renters, and this is a really big one, for renters who aren't going to go and put solar panels on the roof that are installed and, you know, still going to be there 20 years later, we're going to allow you to use plug-in solar, which means you can buy a solar panel. You'll be able to buy them at places like Noel Leeming. You'll be able to install them on your balcony, plug them straight into your regular wall socket, and you'll be able to start getting savings from that. So that will feed electricity in through your wall socket rather than you drawing electricity out of it. That's going to help to cut your bill.
Mm. And as well, we've got the apprenticeship boost, another one of your major policies. It's expanding the apprenticeship boost, Labour promising to support more trades and getting young people into work and to gain a qualification. It includes the $1,000 toolbox grant to cover the cost of getting started in trades, structured mentoring pilot, and employer payments extended from 1 year to 2 years at $500 a month. So you're wanting to reset this apprenticeship boost after National narrowed its scope, and pulled it back. And that 2 years component would come in during 2028. The next election after 2026 is 2029, which means there's a risk of it being pulled back once again if an opposition government was to be elected in 29. How do you ensure the sustainability and durability of this policy when it might face the chopping block once again?
When I was Minister of Education, I got record numbers of people in apprenticeships. And the cuts that this government have made have seen almost a record decline in the number of apprentices that we're seeing. There is no way in a democracy to stop a future government cutting something that you put in place. But I think this government have gone far further than any other government that we've seen in recent times in just cancelling things for the sake of it, cutting things for the sake of it, not really having a clear understanding of the consequences of what they were cutting and not really caring about that.
Mm.
Most other governments generally have taken the view, well, even if the other side introduced it, if it's working, we'll keep it and we'll try and build from there. That's not the approach that this government have taken. And of course, all New Zealanders ultimately are paying the cost of that.
Mm. Do you think that the average Kiwi is getting irritated with that kind of, you know, something coming into place, getting scaled back, coming back into place, getting scaled back?
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, when I was talking about road transport before, you know, I was talking about road building and road maintenance. One of the reasons that we're not going to go back and say, look, we're just going to cancel all these projects and we're going to come up with our own list is because that's just one of the reasons that all of our roads cost so much and take so long is because our priorities keep changing.
Mm.
And there are real world consequences of governments doing that. In construction, for example, so roading is only one part of construction, typically house building, hospitals, schools, you know, all of the construction sector. There's 20,000 fewer jobs in construction than there were on election day at the last election. And the government have directly influenced that with that constant cancelling, pausing, deferring, rescoping. So we don't want to keep going through that cycle because that's real jobs. You think about that, 20,000 fewer people working in that area. That's 20,000 fewer consumers out there going and visiting their local hospitality businesses or their local retail, which means there's a multiplier effect of thousands of other people lose their jobs because of that.
Yeah. And on that kind of topic of, you know, you're wanting to meaningfully challenge National here, which I think is what a lot of Kiwis want. Many of your policies could be seen as reactive policies to what the coalition government has put in place or to the strife of cost of living. But there isn't too much groundwork for the proactive policies that meaningfully differ from that of the minor party, or even opposition in terms of propelling Aotearoa forward as a country. That investment in young people in Aotearoa, in their futures, how will Labor kind of create that very meaningful change?
I think fundamentally the difference between a government led by Labor and a government led by National is a government led by Labor believes that there is an active role for government in shaping a better future for New Zealanders, whereas a government led by National tends to think that, you know, if you just cut government, everything will get better. The reality is that's never worked anywhere that it's been tried before. We've been trying that in New Zealand for the last 40 years and it hasn't worked. Our living standards have gone backwards.
Mm.
We've gone from having some of the highest living standards in the OECD to having some of the lowest. I want a more active role for government. That means changing our tax system. It means introducing a capital gains tax. We're one of the only countries in the world that doesn't have one. It means stopping the sell-off of state assets and putting those assets to better use to create more economic opportunity for New Zealand. So the establishment of our future fund will take those assets, put them into something that we can actually, you know, really invest back into New Zealand. And an active role for government in helping to fix broken markets. So New Zealand, a lot of our markets now are trending towards having one or two big players in them. So take supermarkets, you've got the supermarket duopoly. In banking, we've got four big Australian banks dominate the market.
Mm.
If we want a more competitive economy that's going to deliver a higher standard of living for all of us, we've actually got to have a government that's actively willing to say, to have a competitive market, the government's got to roll up its sleeves and get a bit more active here.
Mm. Mm. And the minor parties that have kind of been reported more by the media, according to the latest RNZ poll, you're polling at 34, the minor parties are on an upwards climb. NZ First is there at 11.5, ACT at 7.8, which means combined with National's 28.7, they are almost in that position to have that current coalition government in power again if they were to pair together once more. Greens are at 10.3% and Opportunity at 4.7%. There's a chance that the left vote could be split. How do you view this continued growth and support for the minor parties, particularly the Opportunity Party this year?
what all the polls are showing is that Labor's support significantly increased since the last election. We're now the most popular political party in New Zealand.
Yeah.
It's great, and I want to keep building on that. But all the polls are also showing that it's a very tight race. So if you look at the potential combinations that could make up a government, it's going to be a very close election. So every single vote's going to matter. My goal between now and the election is to make sure that when the votes get counted, the day after the election, we've achieved a change of government. And the safest way to get a change of government is to vote Labour. Because if you're voting for any of those other parties, you're not quite sure what you're voting for. They might not get over the threshold. That means your vote's wasted. Or they're putting up working with National, which means that all you're doing is, you know, re-electing the current government just with more players in it.
Yeah. And my final question here, it's a little bit off to the side. It's a little bit more specific for us here in the realm of student media. But NZ On Air, the budget for 2026 had NZ On Air decrease at 2% for their budget, which could have very direct and serious impacts for us here at the Student Radio and for Aotearoa music artists. How does Labor view this decrease?
The cuts to New Zealand On Air funding are obviously something that we've strongly opposed, but it goes further than that. We had a what's called the Fair, I think it's a Fair Media Bargaining Bill, which was basically about getting companies like Google and Facebook to pay their fair share to the companies that are producing the content that they are making money out of.
Mm-hmm.
The current government haven't progressed that. We do need to progress something like that in New Zealand, because one of the things that's killing local media is that all of their advertising revenue is being captured by big players like Google and Facebook, and it's not actually making it through to the people who are creating the content.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to make sure that we're creating income for the content creators rather than just the big tech multinational companies.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining me, Chris. It's been lovely to have you here in this very small room that we're in.
That's all right. It's been great to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was my kōrero with MP Chris Hipkins, Leader of the Opposition, there that I had yesterday afternoon. The time
that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.